Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, we invite your presence into this conversation as we pursue our relation, our holy relationship with you and our service to you, Lord God, as Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And in Jesus' name we pray. Today we have with us Pastor Alfredo. He pastors the Rock of Life Fellowship here in Chico. Welcome, Pastor Alfredo.
Good morning, John. How are you?
It's so good to see you.
Good to be here. I enjoy every time we meet, it's what's just as a joyful occasion.
You are so generous with what you have to say, but I enjoy you and your church also. I have to say that when I have come to your church, it has been a joyous experience. The family you have there is wonderful. The members you have wonderful. Yeah. It's warm and welcome, and it's just a lovely place to be.
Thank you. And it's great every time you visit. It is. It's a kind of a dream come true in a sense. It's a prayer and a blessing every time we get together. I look forward to Sunday mornings. It's just such a Holy Spirit atmosphere.
Yes, it is. People, I love to be with people who love Jesus, and that's what I experience at the church that you pastor.
Yeah, there's some great people there. God has really put together a mix of different people. We come from all walks of life. It is, and it's very diverse, and we have a very good time. I mean, it's just to get together and gather and celebrate the Lord every Sunday morning. It's such an honor. I don't know why people don't do it more often. It is amazing.
Well, it's a wonderful experience. I love to see your wife and your mother-in-law there also. It's just wonderful.
Yeah.
The warmth of that of your church is just terrific.
Thank you.
And today, let's talk about what's going on in the community.
Sure, absolutely. There is a lot.
What would you like to talk about?
Well, we were talking about just a little while ago, just what's going on in the community, obviously, since the campfire, and especially how I view it, because my perspective is completely different. Because on November 8th, I lost my home as well as, you know, hundreds of other people. And if not thousands, it was just such a life-changing moment. And we were talking how much we now see the reliance on our Lord, because when we're weak, he's strong. And it wasn't just my house that after 23 years, but it was also my family lived in paradise. My daughter and my son-in-law were affected. They lost, their home was damaged, and they lost a small studio apartment that my daughter had lived in for years. And we lost all our storage units. And my sister lived up there with her husband and three boys, and they lost their home that they lived in for 7 years. And then my niece lived around the corner, and her two boys, they lost their apartment. So it just obviously just affected. I don't know one person that hasn't been affected by this. And the reliance on the Lord right now is more than ever. And I just pray that people would see that. I pray that there's a lot of people walking around in this community, like we were talking, that they don't see the hope. And they don't see the hope. It's surprising how many people that even had a relationship with the Lord have actually now started to doubt their faith or walk away a little bit or overwhelmed. You know, on the other side of that, adverse to that is, boy, I've seen some wonderful people step up and be the hands and feet of Jesus. The support has just been amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Well, that's what I see here. I see so many people willing to help and give a hand out and helping hand to so many families.
Yeah. Yeah, we have received probably, more help than I've ever had in my lifetime, prayer, support. And it's been a little overwhelming. I've always been that person that had the resources to help others. And ever since I was a little boy, I was extremely resourceful and took care of my family. I've had a job literally since I was 10 years old, some form or another.
Wow.
And to suddenly, in just a few hours, go to somebody that I had resources and I didn't believe I had that type of need. Suddenly I did, and my family, and it was humbling. It was a wonderful lesson. I believe the Lord has taught me so much through this. My perspective is completely different, just to the type of servants that God has out there for everyone, being able to bless others. And it was very humbling to actually talk with people and find myself in a need
Yes.
It was a little bit of brokenness. And thankfully, some of that was maybe pride. And that
I
was difficult.
I can understand that. Yeah. But that's a part of the process that God puts us through.
Yeah.
It breaks us, and then we become a usable vessel to Him.
Yes. Yeah, I believe in that. There's a certain joy that is coming through these trials and tribulation times. And that's what, you know, the book of James calls us to, and count it all joy during various times of trials and tribulations. And yes, that's what my men's group is going through right now, the book of James. And boy, the word of God is more real right now to me. It's more, it's always been relevant, but it's even more alive to me because I see things in a different way through this experience in the last 3 months.
Yes, James is quite a book. And the things that James talks about has to do with all sorts of things, including the temptations we face.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And it's a big, important book, a little book. But
well, yeah, I know the thing about it is they call it the Proverbs of the New Testament because there's so many great wisdoms that are short, blunt, and to the point, which is why as a man and the men in my group, they love it because it gets right to the point. Look, this is the way it is. You count it all joy. And if you get in temptation, hey, the Lord doesn't tempt you. And it's just very, very to the point, and it's so much meat to it.
Yeah.
But it's been a difficult season. I'm the first one to tell you. It's the last 9 months. If you give me like a moment to recap.
Oh yes, let's do that.
The last 9 months has been difficult personally. It's been this up and down roller coaster, and I'm going to preface it by saying to anybody that's listening right now, listen, I've gone through life with God, and I've gone through life without God. Mm-hmm. It is much better with Him. And
amen.
In this last 9 months, to be able to start off last year thinking it would be our best year ever, me and my wife invested a little bit of money that we had in our savings and our retirement into putting in a backyard into the back of our property for our upcoming grandkids. My daughter was going to have a baby in June, and the baby was born in June, thankfully healthy and beautiful. And my daughter married a gentleman that was, you know, blessing us with two bonus grandchildren. So we built like a big playground in the back, and my dad was out there putting together picnic tables and doing yard work. It was just going to, I could just see the year of blessings. In May, our associate pastor, Rick Stout, passed away from a heart problem. And he had been sick for about a year. And then in June, surprisingly, my father, who's always been in great health, he passed away on June the 4th. Just had a heart attack out of the blue. And we were talking in his room, and he just said, "Son, I don't feel good," and suffered a massive heart attack. And then my daughter got married in late June, and that was wonderful. But it was difficult not having my dad there. Then in July, my other daughter had a baby with her husband, little Daniel Jeremiah, and that was a blessing. And then in November, we lose our homes. And then my wife, who unfortunately in the last 15 years has been struggling with a disease similar to MS, a neurological disease, she's been struggling with that for some time. We were living in a hotel here in Chico, and she had a bad fall about 3 weeks ago and broke her leg in two places and needed surgery. And she's still in the rehab center here in Chico. So you look back on that, and all I can say is God is good. God is amazing. God is our provider. He's our healer, our righteousness, our shepherd. He's our Father. He's our ever-present. He's just ever-present in times of trouble. So this is what I would say. God's word and a relationship with Him never promises that we would bypass the trials and tribulations, but He does promise that we would overcome them. And that is where I stand. You know, without Christ, there's nothing I could do on my own to overcome those types of trials. I can't do anything on my own. But with Him, wow, I can overcome that. We can have victory. We could see the joy in those trials and tribulations. And not only that, we could be thankful in those trials that He provides He gives us hope. And I'm a blessed man. I have a wonderful wife. I have two wonderful daughters who married two wonderful godly men. I have a brand new grandchild and two other grandchildren. I have a wonderful church. I have more friends than I've ever had, and I'm a blessed man. So there you go.
Oh, this is wonderful. It's a funny thing because I had the joy of seeing you this morning.
Yes.
And so I had that in my heart. But I also have been thinking about trials and tribulations.
Yeah.
So this was before we had any discussion, and here you are sharing with yours.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a trying time. Not just locally, but look around a nation and the world. It's these are definitely trying times. And I know some people are discouraged by it. If anything, I've had a lot of conversations with people that, you know, the Lord may be preparing us for something, but every day in my everyday life, I believe that. And I need to be ready to answer that call. And it's not easy at times. I mean, I get frustrated. I get tired, weary, yes, physically, mentally, emotionally. But through all that, look, I've been around long enough to know how good my God is.
Amen.
You know, I know how good he is. I know he's able. I know he makes me an overcomer. He makes me victorious. Mm-hmm. I'm not a slave to anything, and I'm just thankful for his provision. There you go. God's amazing.
Well, I think of the trials we have,
yeah,
and I think of how they do bring us closer to God and in Jesus, and they increase our faith,
yes,
which is a part of the process that we don't think we want, but the result of it is, yes, we want the result.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a lot of people out there, John, that are discouraged at this time right now. Yes. We have a tent in the back of we're trying to move to a new church. It should be ready in about 4 months. But there's a tent in the back that's being run by a gentleman named Dennis McCourt, and he's part of a ministry called Miracle City, you know, and Got Hope, G-O-T, Hope. Mm-hmm. And what he does is he's back there offering sifting supplies to people that lost their homes, everyday supplies that they may need, whether it's towels, a Bible, toiletries, cleaning supplies, metal detectors, sifters, blankets, clothing, whatever we can offer to people that are in need right now. And I'm out there talking to people at times, and obviously I won't use any names or anything, but
mm-hmm.
Look, there's a lot of people out there that are discouraged,
yes,
by all the trials right,
yes,
now, and they don't see the hope. And I'm talking to a woman last week, and we were talking about her situation, and we had offered to pray with her, and I actually said, you know, you're welcome to visit, you know, our church anytime, Rock of Life, you know, anytime you want. And I said briefly, you know, I told her my situation. I said, I've lived with God in my life, and I've lived without him in my life, and it's much, much better with him. Yeah. And she shot back, well, you know, there's a lot of people angry at God right now. And you could just kind of feel the walls. Mm. And, you know, how do you answer that? As Christians, are we prepared to give a gentle answer when somebody asks us about our faith? And there was a time where maybe I would have got defensive, but this woman was hurting. She was in pain, and she was looking for hope in crisis. At that time, all I could do was just show her empathy, support, love, a prayer, and hopefully she would allow the, yes, Holy Spirit to just envelop her and show her that hope,
yes,
that she just wasn't feeling right now.
No, there is a time to have that intellectual discussion where you can present God and the battle between good and evil. And
yeah,
there's a time when you present love,
yes,
and compassion for people.
Yes, and that's what she needed at the time.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't want to get into a debate about, you know, how man has brought things upon himself by kicking God out of schools and life and culture and, yeah, you know, and how, you know, God in his sovereignty allows things, you know, which all may be true. And there's different situation that God always has his hands in. And of course, he is sovereign. There's nothing happening that God isn't in control of, aware of, or allows.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a time when people needed to hear God's love, God's grace, God's mercy, his pain when we are hurting as well. And I just want to make sure that we as Christians that we're up to that challenge.
Yeah.
That we show the hope in crisis, that we extend our love and compassion before we get defensive or, you know, try to win a debate or something. And I think at times with, ooh, all these things and all these topics in the world going on right now, I just want to remember that People need that show of love and compassion and mercy that Christ has. I don't want to get into debates right now or into these topics that are pretty hot buttons for people. People just need to hear about Christ's love.
Yeah. I suppose that's the way it's always been in history, because that's what Jesus showed. Yeah. He showed love, God's love for people.
Sure. Yeah. Mm. Always. And with all the things that are going on in the world, you can definitely see where possibly God's taken his hands off of certain things and areas, because yes. He's not being honored. And I understand that.
Yeah.
Maybe difficult for people to understand, but I've been around for a while and I get it. I understand. You know, God will bless those who follow him and honor him. Mm-hmm. We turn our backs on God. If we turn our back on Christ, if we disregard him, if we disregard his will, then there you do reap what you sow.
Yeah.
You really do. But when we're out there, we walk in the Spirit, like Galatians 5 says, which is my absolute favorite book, Galatians. When we walk in the Spirit, we will experience the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the gentleness, the goodness, the faithfulness, that self-control. You know, we'll experience that.
Can you say that again?
Yes.
It's so good. Just, I want to hear it again.
Well, I like Galatians 5. I'll give you a little bit of background.
Yeah.
And there was a time definitely in my life where I was talking the talk, but not walking the walk. I've always had a relationship with Christ, yet I was that perfect example of someone that just wasn't walking with him in my life. I professed Christ with my tongue, but denied him with my lifestyle.
Ooh.
So wow. Galatians was the book that really spoke to me, because I'm a kind of a to-the-point person, and Galatians 5 was to the point. And it says very emphatically, listen, if you walk in the world, you're going to experience the ways of the world. You're going to have lust, idolatry, fits of wrath, anger, dissensions. Excuse me. But when you walk in the Spirit, you get love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, self-control. Why wouldn't I want to experience that over the dissensions and the fits of wrath and the anger and the jealousies? I'll choose walking in the Spirit any day.
Oh, this is exciting. It's exciting to hear the good news. This is the good news of the gospel.
Yes.
And that's what we share with people, especially when they're hurting.
Yeah.
Like right now, there's so many people who just are feeling the loss of so much in life.
Yeah, they are. And John, I'm not saying that it's easy. It's not. It's work. It's very difficult for me to look back 9 months ago when life was very different. I had a home. My mom and dad lived with me. We were opening a new church, getting ready for it. I had a good friend and a mentor. It was what I thought was going to be our future forever. And life took a drastic left turn. And I look back now, and everything I thought I started off 2018 is completely different. Now, I thank God for my wife, my children, my son-in-laws. My mom is still here. Thank God she's healthy.
Yes.
But I need to be prepared for that.
Yeah.
I need to be prepared for whatever life throws at us, because I'm not alone. And too many people feel alone out there. I have the Lord with me. And I still struggle. Hey, look, I'm like anybody else. I have my moments where I think things I shouldn't, or I say things I shouldn't, or, you know, temptation hits, or my frustration, my anger, which is always something I've dealt with, is just the fits of anger, fits of wrath, always was something I had dealt with in the past. But the Lord truly shows me how he can provide the tools to get me past all those. Yes. And it's up to me to pick up those tools. And he sent wonderful people in my life to overcome all of those trials. God provides that for us, but it's up to us to use them.
I see that as one of the paths that a pastor takes. Pastors feel things just like everyone else. It's just that we come back to God through Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit faster, and we understand that there is this, that's the orientation.
Yeah. No, I agree 100%. I just want people to know right now that in this area, this community right now,
yeah,
it's what we would call a mission field.
Huh. Yes.
There is no time I've ever seen in any place I've ever lived in a greater mission field than right now. People that generally need to hear the good news.
Oh, isn't that true?
Generally need to hear the good news. There are a lot of people are hurting right now.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I've had my moments. I've had my times where I've cried out to God in the last couple months.
Yes.
And I don't understand everything. I don't get it. But here's the thing. God has put people in my life. Mm-hmm. And for such a time as this, things actually were building up to this moment that I can look now in hindsight and go, oh, okay, that's why this person is in my life right now. Or that's why we made this certain decision. Because God placed people in my family's life right now that have been prayerful support, help financially, help material, things that we needed, things that we needed just for in our church, because we got put behind a couple of months in the build out. Mm-hmm. Samaritan's Purse volunteered for a couple, 3 weeks, helping us get our church ready.
Wonderful.
Another ministry called Helping Hands. And different people have helped us around the church. They've helped me. I lost 4 cars in the fire, mine, my dad's, and my 2 daughters' cars. I was blessed with a car by another ministry to help me get around, you know, the first couple, 3 months.
Yeah.
I look back at it now, and I'm going to say something that's, I said earlier, but I want to reiterate it again.
Yeah.
It is difficult, maybe for men, especially because maybe some pride issues. It's difficult to accept help. It was very hard for me, and it still is, to have people look at me and say, you know, you're in need, brother, let me help you. You know, here's a financial donation, or here's a gift card, or even here's a car that you'd be able to do your ministry with. Or it's humbling. But if I don't receive it, it is true. You will really rob these people of a blessing. God has given us resources to help others. And that's what it's there for. Our abundance, our excess is really there just to help others. And in my past, that's what I've always tried to do. Now, if I don't allow somebody to help me and my family in our time of need, I may be, not enabling them to receive a blessing later on by the Lord, or me,
yes,
to build up my resources again so we can continue helping others.
Yes.
And it reminds me of this joke I actually told on Sunday. It's not quite a joke, but it's you'll get the point.
True. Yeah.
But there was this man that the floodwaters were rising, and he had his faith in the Lord, and there was a knock on his door. Says, hey, the flood's coming. You need to leave. Oh, the Lord's going to take care of me. He'll protect me. As the waters rose, and he had to go up to the second floor of his house, and a boat goes by, jump in. No, the Lord's going to take care. He'll provide for me. Don't worry. And then he's tip top of the roof, and a boat comes by, and then a helicopter, and the helicopter says, grab the ladder. He says, no, the Lord's going to save me. And unfortunately, the man passes away in the flood, gets to heaven, and says, Lord, I relied on you. I had all these needs, and you left me there hanging, and I drowned. And the Lord says, well, wait a minute. I sent somebody to warn you. I sent a boat, I sent a helicopter, and sometimes the Lord provides things that are right in front of us, whether it's a person that wants to pray with us, whether it's a church, whether it's a ministry someplace, a Bible study they could attend, somebody's home devotional Bible study, a radio program that he would put into on their station as they're flipping stations that they get encouragement from. Mm-hmm. A Bible in a hotel, which is, I appreciate when I'm in the hotel,
yes,
there's a Bible in the hotel. God places these things all around us all the time so that we can rely on him, to show him that he never leaves us, he never forsakes us, and he's there if we just reach out to him. God's word says that if we draw near to him, he'll draw near to us. He's there. He's there waiting for us. And I've learned all that.
That's a wonderful illustration.
Yes.
Because we have in our mind somehow that our expectations are that God is going to do this. And so we expect it to be in a miraculous form or something that we have in our concept of thought. But no, we have to remember that God is sovereign and he does things the way he wants, and we say, yes, Lord.
That's right. All we can say is, yes, Lord. I didn't, you know, the things that have changed, our church will be built. It should be ready in about a month, and it's not built at the time that I thought.
Oh.
I wrote out the budget and I wrote out the timeline and who was going to help us, and it's completely different. But it is going to get done. God's sovereign. He's in control.
Yes.
It may not be done the way I thought, or my life may not go the way I thought. I may not retire or someday enjoy the home that I have the last 23 years, but I'll have a home and I have my family. And thank God my entire family is safe.
Yes.
It was a little close for a couple of us, but, and my heart goes out to the people that have loved ones that did not make it through the fire.
Yes.
I don't have that perspective. I have the loss of material things and the mourning of those mementos, those memories.
Memories, yeah.
And what we're also mourning, not what we had, but what we're mourning, what we thought we were going to have, that homestead, that safe place that I would be able to pass down to one of my children, or... we're mourning the times that we thought we'd have in the yard with our grandchildren. It's not just what you had, it's what you thought you were going to have.
I think this is just wonderful perspective to have on it, because it illustrates how we can pray for people with losses.
Yes.
And prayer is such an important part of our Christian life.
Yes. Yeah, I've learned, there's another thing I've learned. I'd like to pass on to people. It's the mourning part. You know, Ecclesiastes says that there is a time to mourn.
Yes.
Time to laugh, time to cry. There's a time to mourn. And I've experienced a sense where people in their good intentions will say, after they hear what happens to me or other people in the same situation, in their good intentions, they'll say, well, thank God at least your family's safe. Or they'll say, well, at least you still have this or that. And that's absolutely true. Yet, it's a little awkward, because for those of us that have lost homes and memories, we're mourning. We're sad. And God allows for that. And sometimes, frankly, and I guess this is some advice for people out there that are trying to offer comfort, sometimes we just need somebody to mourn with us, cry with us, be sad with us, similar to the way Job's friends just sat for 7 days and nights and just sat with him, didn't say anything, just mourned with him. There are things that we're mourning right now. And yes, doesn't mean we're not appreciative for what we still have, what we've been blessed with, but there is a time to mourn. And sometimes we just need to be have an acknowledgement that there's a mourning season going on right now. And doesn't mean we're not appreciative of all the things that the Lord has blessed us with. I've learned that when people said, yes, I've lost this or this, and I look at them and say, hey, God bless you. I'm so sorry. And let them mourn. There's a healing that comes from this mourning. There's new perspectives and new lessons and wisdom that God passes down to those people that are going through what we're going through, especially for those that have faith in the Lord Jesus. But yeah, that was a big lesson for me.
Wow.
Yeah.
I know with looking at disaster relief, dealing with people in disasters, that mourning is a very important part of people who deal with the compassion for people in disasters is you must mourn your loss.
Yeah,
and that's such an important part.
And it's just that part of healing, you know. The whole five stages of denial is the shock and the anger and the bargaining and and then the finally acceptance, etc. It's almost been 3 months. I'd say the section that I lingered the most on, was the shock. And as I talk to people that have experienced this, they've told me the same thing. You walk around in a constant state of shock. You just cannot believe. I walk back to my property and I see the driveway that my kids drove around, or I see the little meadow in the middle and some of the trees that are still there. And then I turn around, I look where my house was, and I'm in shock. I can't believe it. Matter of fact, when my children and I drove down the lane to see our house for the first time, we all thought the same thing. We drove down this small lane. Our house was in the back of this small lane in Paradise. There was 3 acres there, and we were pretty secluded. We all thought the same thing. As soon as we hit the end of that driveway and saw where our home was, we were shocked to see the visual of our home not there and see through the home, see the trees behind it, see the property behind it. It was shocking because we were so conditioned to hit that driveway, see our home every day for 23 years. Yeah. And suddenly the shock that it's not there, we're driving around Chico and at the end of the day, not going up the Skyway, turning to a hotel was shocking to us. And then the one thing that's painful still to this day, suddenly remembrance of something you no longer have. My Bible, our photo albums. Then you remember something. I was in a restaurant a couple of months ago, just a couple of weeks afterwards, and I remember that on my desk in my office was my dad's cell phone. And I had just remembered, we were sitting there talking about getting a new phone because mine had cracked. I go, yeah, I can go back in and get my cell phone. Suddenly I remembered my dad's cell phone. I just burst out into tears in this restaurant. And that's happened to me several times, and it's happened to people. You sudden remembrance of something you no longer have. A table and chairs that my kids used when they were toddlers that was made by their grandfather, my wife's dad. Remembering those things, and it's still happening. And that's part of the mourning again, you know. And it's okay. It's okay, people. That's going to happen. But God calls us to cast our cares on Him. Those that are weary and heavy burdened, come to Him, lay it down at His feet, and He will give us rest. Because there's a time we need to come out of this mourning. It's okay to have these remembrances and be sad for that moment, but remember, His joy comes in the morning. We have to remember what God gives us to overcome this. We can't sit in this. We just can't. God is too good to allow us to sit in the mourning stages. He gives us the mourning and the joy and the mercy. So, amen.
This is such a big part of an important message that you're giving out. It just strikes me so deeply.
Thank you. It's and all of this has really been humbling for me. A completely different perspective on ministry right now. I thank God for it. I have enough sermons and messages for the next 10 years just from the experiences of the last 3 months.
Yeah, and it's been 3 months. And how much for the last 3 months? I know this is a shock to your system. It was, of course, in the first weeks. Yeah. But would you say it was also a shock in the first 3 months? Or is the healing part? Tell me about that.
Well, it's still a shock. I would say that's the one thing that's been lingering is at these moments that you have. And I'll share one thing that'll help answer your question.
Yeah.
I had a moment in front of my church on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Our associate pastor, Tommy Wilson, had given a wonderful, wonderful message on this spark of letting a God sparked into our lives and letting Him be in total control and just providing for us. So after the message, I was up there and I was closing the service and I was announcing that on Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday, every year, don't forget, this is what I was saying. Hey, don't forget, church, next week, Super Bowl Sunday, game doesn't start till 3:30, service starts at 10. I always have a sports-themed message, something that the Lord message gives us that has something about sports or some type of theme. I said, wear your jerseys. Everybody wear your football jerseys. You can feel free to wear your favorite team, wear a basketball, baseball, whatever jersey. And then I said, I'll be wearing my jersey. And then in a split second, through my head, it went, I could wear my jerseys because I have a lot of them because I'm this big basketball fan. And I'll wear my dad's jersey because my dad's left us in June. I'll wear his jersey. And then suddenly it clicked, wait a minute. I don't have any jerseys.
Yeah,
they're gone, especially my dad's, the one that he used to wear, a Los Angeles Laker jersey. This all hit me in a matter of a split second. So out of my mouth to the congregation was, so don't forget, wear all your jerseys. I'll be wearing mine. And then I went, oh, And I actually kind of said a word that some people might accept and some people don't.
Yeah.
I said, oh crap.
Yeah.
I don't have any more jerseys.
Yeah.
And I nearly broke down in tears in front of the whole congregation. I literally had a moment where I almost broke apart because all these things flooded in, from my dad being gone to the times we shared watching basketball. My dad took me to a Laker game when I was 9 years old. My parents were divorced. It was a way, his attempt to bond with me. And since then, up until the day he died, my dad and I enjoyed basketball games. We went to basketball games just 3 months before he passed away. We went to a Laker game. And so it was special for me. It's not just a fan thing. It was a bonding with my father moment. It was a tool that the Lord used to bond with my dad. All that flooded into me within a matter of seconds. Yeah. I had to stop and pray. I told the congregation, I got to pray. I just got really sad. And I mourned in front of the congregation. It was, again, humbling. But what strength I received from the congregation and from the Lord just by stopping and praying, having a tool that the Lord gives us. And what mightier tool is there than prayer? To say, you know what, Lord, I'm having a moment. I'm going to cast this care on you. I'm sad right now, but I'm asking for your joy. I'm asking for your strength because I'm a little weak right now. And he delivered. And it was okay. It was all right. So,
so human. Because we're all human beings with emotions and thoughts and pains.
And I think we forget that sometimes in church. I we're all broken. We're all human. We're all, it's hard to put on our Sunday best when, frankly, I want to walk into church and give God my worst. I want to lay it down at his feet.
Yes.
I don't want to cover anything up. I want to say, God, here's what I'm struggling with. God, I don't want to carry it anymore. I just want to lay it down at your feet. I don't want to deal with it anymore, God. And I want that for our church. I want people to be able to walk in and say, God, I walked in here really heavy. I can't carry this anymore.
Yes.
And lay it down at the altar and walk out the way God calls us, new creations, free.
So important.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen.
New creations in Christ. That is what we're called to be.
Yes.
Oh, this is big.
Yeah. It's joyful. Like when you visit, it's joyful. You bring a smile, and I appreciate that. And you bring a true sense of the joy of the Lord. That's what church should be.
Yes.
You know, the people, the building should be filled with the Holy Spirit, an authentic move of the Holy Spirit, where people can walk in the way they are, but walk out changed, new creations, at least encouraged, at least ready to take a first step in their relationship with Christ.
Well, that is what I touched on in the beginning, because when I have been to your church, the people there, I feel the love of Jesus Christ among the people.
Huh.
And so, of course, it comes from you as well, but I feel that in your church, and it's lovely.
Well, briefly, we started in Paradise, California.
Uh-huh.
We started in my home. My home was actually our church to begin with. We were a church plant out of a church in Paradise, and we moved to Chico. But our home was our church. Our home was so much more than a house. It was our church. It was the place we, as for me and my house, we served the Lord. It was the place, everybody's home. Our friends, our family, we had gatherings there, parties there, birthday parties, barbecues, celebrations of life there. It was open to everybody. We had neighborhood kids play on our property because we had a basketball court, and we had people from church that lived in Paradise come, even though we only had the park for 3.5 months, we had people come over and play on the playground and the swings and the teeter-totter and the cornhole toss and the whole thing. But we started the church in that home. Uh-huh. And then we moved down to Little Chico Creek Elementary School in September of 2014. Now we found a new home, and we've been trying to move there the last several months, 2555 Dominic Drive, right behind Italian Cottage, and cross street from the tire place. So we'll be there, hopefully in about a month. But I'm excited because we have an atmosphere that God's created that I know is genuine.
Yes.
imperfect, with broken people that are searching for their relationship with Christ, where people can come in and feel a genuine move of the Holy Spirit and be able to sit down and heal if they need to heal, whether they just want to sit in the back and learn, great. We have Bible studies. When they're ready to do more, no problem. We actually kind of have a rule that people need to sit for 3 to 6 months before they even try to get involved in the church. They need to know who we are. We need to know who they are, and we want them to heal and get, most of all, they need to know who Christ is.
Yes.
And that's who we are. And we have a Facebook site, Rock of Life Fellowship, and we have a website, and we have a YouTube channel, a Rock of Life Fellowship, that people can go in and see any message that's ever been given in our church since day one. Go back and watch any message. Messages only run about 25 to 30 minutes. So I believe in what God's doing.
I do too. And I see every one of us, it has brokenness. It just depends on the degree and what the area is.
Yeah.
But we all have had such pain in our life. It's different for each one of us.
Yeah. I just wish people knew how much the Lord is, like he says, behold, I stand in the door at the door and knock. And if any man would open the door, any person open the door and let me in, I'll come in and sup with him. And I used that in church about a month ago. And there's this very famous painting of the image of Christ standing at a door with kind of like ivy grown around it. And it has that scripture from Revelation, you know, behold, I stand at the door and knock. The very interesting thing about that painting is that there is no doorknob on the side of Christ. The doorknob is inside the cottage. It is up to us to open that door and let Christ in. He will not force himself on us. He stands there and knocks. It's up to us to open that door and let him in our hearts.
How would we do that?
First of all, I think we need to acknowledge the need for Christ. Mm. You know, we need to know that we can't do life alone. Mm-hmm. There's a need. God actually says that in each person, there is a time when they will question eternity, when they'll have this moment where they'll wonder about heaven and eternity. It's in that moment that we need to break down the barriers, break down the walls that we've put up between us and the true, real God, the God of the Bible. And in that moment, invite him into our hearts and say, Lord, I don't want to live the way I used to live. I don't want to live in this sin any longer. I can't do life alone. I need you. I want to turn from the ways of this world, and I want to go towards your spirit. I believe your son died for me. I believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior. I believe that you sent him just to die just for me, and I want him, Lord, so I invite him and your Holy Spirit in my life to lead me and guide me so I can spend eternity with you. And that simple moment of need for Christ the Savior changes your life, changes your world, changes your eternity most of all, changes the direction, the focus where we're all going here on this earth and in eternity. Sounds
That's
simple.
That's wonderful.
Sounds simple.
So well said.
Yeah, Christ loves us so much. If people just realize how much Christ loves them. I walked away from it for so long. I was brought up Catholic, and I truly believe I had a relationship with the Lord when I was a young man. I used to catch the bus. I grew up in a small town in Southern California called Bell Gardens, and we were fairly poor. You know, we used to walk with my grandmother to the park to get the government cheese and the government bread and shop at the Goodwill. And back then, the Goodwill was kind of different than it is now. I used to catch the bus by myself to go to Sunday school and to go to youth group. I was about 10, 11, 12 years old. I loved the Lord. As I became a teenager in high school, I kind of dug in and had Bible studies, and I had a very influential English teacher by the name of James Montgomery, who was a youth leader in his church. Very influential in my life. But as soon as I got out of high school, got into college, and I was a musician working in nightclubs, and we moved to Hawaii. Suddenly, my walk stopped. And I just was not walking with the Lord at all. Took me quite a few years. to get my relationship with Christ active again, where I knew he wanted me to be. It took me several years. And then through a bad experience visiting a church one time, I was about 30 years old. I had a daughter about 2 years old, walked into a church. I hadn't been in church for several years. Mm. I had a bad experience at the door. They insisted I took my daughter to the children's church. Said, hey, I'm a guest, first time visitor. No, she's a great kid, year and a half old. She'll sit. Don't worry if she gets into trouble or gets noisy. I'll take her out. Yeah, don't worry. And the gentleman said, no, no, no. We insist you must take your children to this room. We walked down the aisle and a long hallway, sat in a room with a bunch of people for about 30 seconds and walked out. Said, you know what? Never mind. Thank you anyway. And I just wanted to experience Christ. And it took me 5 years to walk back into a church. Yeah. And that's why we have a Sunday school for the kids. We have classes, but it's a very family-friendly atmosphere. Mm-hmm. We know that responsible parents, they understand if the kids get noisy, you know, they could take them outside. Or we have these grandmamas that give them coloring books and things. But kids are always welcome in our service. And our music is extremely contemporary. We have very good moments of reverence and bowing down before the Lord. And there's very exuberant times of celebration and joy. So the kids love the music. And a lot of the parents choose to take their kids to the classes after the praise and worship, which they're absolutely welcome to do. So we have kids of all ages. We don't call ourselves the millennial church, the contemporary church, the traditional church, the old-fashioned church, or whatever. We are just God's home. Come on in. You know, so that's it.
It's exciting. All the warmth that we feel when we go to your church. It's just very nice.
Thank you. I love the Lord for what he's doing.
Yes. And I also love to encourage young people, and whatever you call a young person, I don't know if they're 5 or 15 or 25 or 55.
Yeah.
We're all a little bit young in a way.
Yeah, we're all God's children. Yeah, we have our worship starts at about 10 a.m. Uh-huh. And goes about 10:45. We have announcements in after the first song and a meet and greet time. But the music goes on for quite some time. We're a very musical church. I've been a musician my whole life. My daughter sings wonderfully. We have a great, wonderful worship team that just loves the Lord and lets the Spirit move. We believe in the Spirit being one of control and order. But we have that freedom in worship, and we love that. Lots of music, lots of singing, solid word, right from the God's holy word. So what else can church be but God's home?
Well, that's exciting.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Oh, because music is such an opportunity to touch people, and everybody has their own orientation to how they operate in the world. And some people are so very musical, some are so very emotional, some are so very intellectual. It's all different.
Yeah.
But this is what we do. We reach out in the ways that people can understand.
Well, yeah, that's a good point. The Lord, somebody once said that there's a scripture in the Bible, and I need to look this up and memorize it, but the Lord, different bait for different people. The Lord will reach people in different ways.
That's right.
And for me, it was music. I mean, I grew up on music. My dad was a musician, great, great singer. He was very popular entertainer in Hawaii for years, and so we grew up in church singing in youth groups, and we had our own little Christian group. And then when I went back to church about 2000 or so, right before 2000, about 1998, I joined the worship team, became a worship leader. And then I started the Lord actually started a group that was called JBC, based on Romans 5:1, being justified by Christ, you know. And we have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. So we started this Christian evangelical music group. It was a pop rock music. Mm-hmm. But we went all over the place, playing any place we could, festivals, you know, Spirit West Coast, backyard barbecues, worship mornings in a church. We traveled all over the area, just evangelizing through music. That was my connection with the Lord. Mm-hmm. We made a few CDs and went to Nashville. We did pretty well for quite some time, just spreading the gospel through music. And that was my connection. God used music to get my attention when nothing else worked. And it's still, to this day, my connection with the Lord. Yeah. I sleep every night. I just put on some worship music. It suits me. It calms me. That's why our church is so musical. That's just a way that God uses to reach people. Music is so powerful.
for hundreds and hundreds of years, yeah. music has been powerful.
Just
in that
read
way.
Psalms 150.
Yeah.
Yep. He says, praise him with the harp, with the cymbals,
yes.
with the drums, stringed instruments, make joyful noises. Amen.
Just make sure it's praise music.
That's the whole point. It's got to be an honor for him.
Yes.
It's got to be his glory. It has to be
yes.
an honor to him. I actually break down music in three categories.
Mm.
Praise. To me, is that exuberant, joyful noise that we make, that praise, that joyful noise, shouting with a voice of triumph, clapping our hands and just making this joyful noise. And worship is that awe of God, being in reverence, you know, singing, you know, just through our spirits and just whether we're prostrate or just sitting, kneeling face down before the Lord, prostrate, just sitting down for the Lord. And then there's celebration. To me, there's celebration music. We may not be singing to yes. the Lord, but we're singing about him and we're telling people about him and we're saying, you know, see how good the Lord is. See how amazing he is. And we're singing about the victory. Or even in the times where we're singing a song that has to do with a trial and tribulation period that shows us the victory, we can celebrate God through music. So praise, worship, and celebration. It's kind of the three categories I break it down.
Doesn't that warm your heart?
I get excited talking about it. Yeah, every Sunday morning I get to sing about it. I'm still one of the worship leaders there. And yeah. I play my guitar and we sing and we worship. We praise and we celebrate.
I think that's an important basis yeah. of reaching people because we have a heart.
Yeah.
And in that heart, it's reached by music, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And other people are reached in different ways.
Yes.
Spoken word, God's yes. creation, nature. God, and a lot of people just walk through this world and focus on the beauty of his creation, and
yes.
they feel very in touch with the Lord. Some with music, some with the written word, some with hearing a sermon. One time my daughter was about 9 years old, and I was saying prayers at night. I'd always sing songs at night.
Mm-hmm.
And as we were saying prayers, she goes, "Hey, Dad," she says, "how do we know that we're right?" And I go, what do you mean? How do we know that what we believe in to God and our prayers, how do you know that we're right? And I said to a nine-year-old, I said, well, you know what, honey, this is the way it works with God. Just who we are, just me as your dad, just me looking at you, my daughter, I look at you, how beautiful you are, how beautiful God has made my two daughters, and I look at you and I know that you're God's creation.
Mm.
I know that his word is true because God said that you're a marvelous work, that he knew you before you were even in your mother's womb. That when I look at you, honey, I know that God's true and his word is true because you're no accident. You're God's creation. That's how I know we're right. She goes, okay, Dad, good night. You know, just turns over and goes, okay, thanks. That's good to me. That's cool.
Oh.
A little over-explaining, Pop, I get it. You know, I got it.
But, well, it made joy in my heart for you to say that.
Yeah, it was amazing. That was one of my best moments with my daughters when they were young, that moment right there. It was amazing.
But the joy, it's really in my heart.
Yeah.
To hear it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we are reached by different methods. I know that. And some is by music and some is by the word. And
sure.
There's just so many ways. The world, the beauty in the world, the natural world.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, there's a lot of ways God uses to get our attention. And
even pain sometimes.
Yeah, you know, like we talked about previously, I mean, God, through this pain of the last 9 months between our pastor, our associate pastor, to my dad,
yes.
to our homes, to
yes.
my wife's illness, to her fall, to just
yes.
the pain of this, of what's going on in the area, God is more real to me now. He always has been, but his word is just jumping out, being the hands and feet of Christ and relying on him and the joy that comes in the morning and his mercies that are new every day. And it just, there's so much, just his word is just popping out and just alive and just, it's just shown more than ever before. And that's
mm-hmm.
come through
mm-hmm.
pain of the last 9 months.
Pain.
So,
and prayer. Prayer is also answered. I love to see answered prayers, and we do that so much.
Yeah.
I mean, each one of us, we pray. And,
yeah.
And we see God's answers to prayer.
Yeah, we do. And it may not be like we talked about earlier, it may not be the way we thought it would be, those answers. Right. It could be yes, could be no, could be maybe, could be not now. You know,
or a different answer than
or it could
expect.
Be figure out on your own. I've given you enough tools, you know, could be something like that. But yes. God always answers his prayers and he's faithful.
Yes.
But we have a part to do.
Definitely.
Yep.
And I like to look back and see things that are put together because hindsight, we can see more things than we see right at the moment.
Oh, yeah.
And then we see God has worked. 2 minutes.
Yep. I've had that as well. That perspective, that hindsight, right? I went through seasons I didn't understand, but you look back and you go, oh, okay, that's what God was doing. Wow. What was I worried about?
Wow.
Wasted all those times worrying. God had it. And what am I thinking? So, yeah.
We're just going to have a minute left, and I hope you would like to pray for
please.
Us and every
please.
Listener.
Yeah.
Thank you.
First of all, Lord, I just want to give you praise. I want to give you glory for how amazing you are, how magnificent you are, Lord, that you're there for us. We know you never leave us. You never forsake us. I'm just praying right now that this community sees and feels your Holy Spirit in action, Lord, that we feel that need for Jesus Christ, our Savior, and that people see this hope in crisis right now. You are the way, the truth, and the life. I just thank you, Lord, for being there for us and showing yourselves and revealing yourselves to everyone right now that desperately needs you. And I pray for the restoration that you're offering and giving this community right now, beginning with me, Lord, in my heart. I just give you praise. I give you glory in the name of Jesus. And we pray. Amen.
Joyous,
amen.
Joyous, joyous. Thank amen. You so much.
Thank you.
Pastor Alfredo Romero, we are so glad that you're here. And we give you thanks. And I wish every success for the Rock of Life Fellowship.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, John. God bless you, my friend.